Good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word. Who were we, Lord, to even come near to you and have anything to do with you, God? Well, thank you, Lord, that you saved us through Jesus Christ and you have also given us your word in love for us. And Lord, we pray that this morning as we read it, as we meditate on the things that you speak to us, that indeed, as our brother prayed earlier, you will speak to each one of our hearts and do the work that only you can do in us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, just as an introduction, let me share a little love story. It's not really a love story, just a little story here. When I was courting Lola, when we were getting to know each other, there were three words that I wished to tell her, but I couldn't really say them. I couldn't really tell her these words. I told her that I would not say these three words until they meant a true commitment, until these words really were true, until they were really had some substance behind them. So the day Lola and I got engaged, I said to Lola, "I love you," for the first time. Those three words. Now, once I became engaged, I remember I would be on the phone speaking to Lola. We used phones back then, and I would wait, and I'm sure she would wait for me to say those three words at the end of our conversation, and it was just a beautiful times, right? And nowadays we still say these three words to each other, probably once a day or sometimes once every 2 days. I don't know. People use the word love so loosely today. We use it for everything. You hear love in songs. There's hundreds of love songs out there. People say they love their pets. People say they love New York, right? They print it on their t-shirts. When we say to the Lord that we love him, what does that mean? When we tell the Lord that we love him, what does that mean? It makes me think of Peter at the end of the Gospel of John. The Lord kept asking Peter, "Do you love me more than this? Lord, you know I love you." And he kept telling Peter, "Tend my sheep." Do we love the Lord? I'm sure all of us can say yes to that. But today we are going to learn about other three words. Three words that are a little bit different than "I love you," that can mean a lot more, that can show the Lord not just our love for him, but our faith in him and our obedience to him. These words truly prove that we love the Lord. Today we're going to read a passage where these three words appear for the first time in Scripture. And the person who said these three words was Abraham. So to understand this passage better and to fathom the size of these words and what they meant when he first said them to the Lord, we should look at the context first. We all know the story beginning on Genesis chapter 12 in verses 4 and 7. We won't go there, but Abraham had two sons. His first son was Ishmael, and his second son was Isaac. And these sons came through the son Isaac came through the promise that God had given Abraham. At age 75, on Genesis chapter 12, Abraham received a promise from the Lord. Abraham received a covenant, and the Lord said to Abraham that he was going to have descendants as numerous as the stars of the heaven. They will not be able to be numbered. But there was an obstacle. Abraham was 75 years old. His wife was 65, and Sarah was barren. So naturally speaking, Abraham and Sarah could not have any children. 10 years after, Sarah and Abraham had an idea. They said, "Well, the Lord has made this promise, and maybe he wants us to have this child in a different way." So through their servant Hagar, Abraham had his first son, and they called him Ishmael. And Abraham loved Ishmael. But this was not the way in which God was going to fulfill his promise. If we go to the book of Genesis, and just this is previous to the passage we'll study today, Genesis chapter 17, verses 18 and 19, tell us a little bit about this story. It says, "And Abraham said to God, 'Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee.'" Abraham did love Ishmael, but God said, "No, but Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants forever." This promise is really important to the passage that we're going to read today. God makes a covenant with Abraham, and he tells him that through Isaac, he is going to establish his covenant. So 25 years after the original promise, when Abraham was 75 years old, God gives a son to Abraham and Sarah, and his name was Isaac. And this was a son that could only be born through the power of God. This was a son that only God could bring about. You can imagine the joy and the love that Abraham and Sarah had for Isaac. You can imagine the miracle before their eyes when Isaac was born. And they just loved him so much. And this was the son that God was going to give them to fulfill a great promise that God had made to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse 8, we read that when Isaac was weaned, Abraham made a big party for him. It says, "And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned." They really loved Isaac. They made a great feast on the day he was weaned. And incidentally, this is also the last time we hear from Ishmael in this sense, because from this point on, Ishmael makes fun of Isaac, and he is let go, he goes away, and now Isaac is the only son that lives with Abraham. So this is the context of our passage this morning. We are looking at a familiar passage, Genesis chapter 22, if you will turn with me there. Let's read the first three verses. It says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.'" On verse 1, it says, "Now after these things," and these things are all the things I just mentioned. This is the context of our passage. Isaac was weaned, and this was probably about when he was 4 or 5 years old. We don't know how old he was when he was weaned. But we know that at this point in the passage, Isaac is anywhere between 18 to 25. The reason we know that is because later in the passage, the Lord calls Isaac a lad, and the original word there translated has to be somebody who's a little bit older than a child, a teenager, or perhaps a young adult. So Isaac must have been 18 to 25 years of age. And when Isaac grew up, God tested Abraham with the most difficult test any parent could have. God asks Abraham to sacrifice the son that he loved. In verse 1, Abraham says those other three words that mean more than "I love you." "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to God, 'Abraham.' And when the Lord calls Abraham, he says, 'Here I am.'" "Here I am, Lord." And those are the words that mean more than "I love you." "Here I am" are the words that open this passage. It is the first time these three words are recorded in Scripture. And throughout this test, throughout this trial, Abraham continues saying these words and keeps having this attitude. "Here I am." Abraham says, "Here I am," even before he knows what the Lord is about to ask. He says, here I am on verse 1. And then on verse 2, it says, he said, "Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I will tell you." Incidentally, the word test And the word love also appears for the first time in Scripture in this passage. Love here is mentioned in reference of the love from a father to his son. And the word test is in reference to the purpose that God had for Abraham to bless him. And the words "here I am" that Abraham responds, that are also mentioned for the first time here, come in the reference of Abraham's love for God, Abraham's faith in God, Abraham's trust in the Lord. So this is the context of our passage, and this is where Abraham begins this test. Verse 3, it says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." In verse 2, we see, before we read verse 3, we see that that God calls Isaac your only son. We know that Isaac had two sons. We know that Abraham had two sons. We know that Abraham had Ishmael, and he also had Isaac. But here God calls him your only son. And what God intends to say here, I believe, is this is one of a kind. This is different than Ishmael. This is your only son, the son of the promise, the son that you love, Isaac. I know how much you love your son, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. And on verse 3 that we just read, it says that Abraham rises early in the morning to obey the command of the Lord. Abraham obeys as soon as possible. I wonder how I would answer to the Lord if I was put before a trial like this. Well, maybe next week. Or you know what, next week I have a wedding. Maybe the week after, maybe in a few days I'll obey the Lord. This is a very difficult request, or a very difficult command. But we see in Abraham a sense of urgency to obey the Lord. When he says, "Here I am," we see in Abraham that he has a sense of urgency to obey the Lord. And this is an example to each one of us. It's an example to our children. It's an example of our disposition to follow and obey the Lord. If you hear the voice of the Lord, if the Lord is calling you through his word, and you say, "Here I am," the Lord will also expect from you and me to respond as soon as possible, to respond early next morning, if that's the earliest you can respond. Verses 4 through 9, let's read verses 4 through 9. It says, "On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you.' And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took his hand on the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood." On verse 4, it says that 3 days elapsed from the time that Abraham first received this command. And on the third day, he sees this mountain where he is to sacrifice his son Isaac. But after 3 days, Abraham still continues to say, "Here I am." This test could only get harder each day that passed by. One thing is to say, "Here I am," the first time you hear the command of the Lord, and be full of energy and zeal to obey the Lord. But after you're walking for 2 or 3 days, the test could only get more difficult. But Abraham continues to say, "Here I am. I'm going to obey the Lord in this difficult trial." But verse 5, as we just read, is fundamental to the reason as to why Abraham could say, "Here I am," and do what the Lord had asked him to do. It says that Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder. Abraham tells his two servants, this is something that only the father and the son will take care of. You will stay here, and only Abraham and Isaac will go yonder. And then he says to his servants, and we will worship, and notice what it says at the end of this verse, and we'll return to you. Abraham has faith that they will worship the Lord and that they will return. And we must ask ourselves the question, how does Abraham know that he's going to return with Isaac? Because Isaac is going to be sacrificed in the mountain. So we only know what went through Abraham's mind or thoughts because of the passage we have in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. So if you will leave your fingers there and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac, your descendants shall be called. And here's the faith of Abraham in verse 19. He considered that God is able to raise men, even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Abraham loved the Lord because Abraham had faith in God. When he tells his servants that he will return with the lad, he knows that God can raise people from the dead. And he knows that the promise that God had given him with Isaac, God was going to fulfill. That is why Abraham is able to say, here I am to the Lord. It says at the end of verse 19 that he also received him back as a type. He considered him dead the day Abraham was told to sacrifice his son. His son was as good as dead. He was already dead because God had ordered for him to be killed or for him to be sacrificed as a burnt offering. So he says here that he received him back as a type, and 3 days after, he received back as a type, his son back as a type of the resurrection. So we see a beautiful picture of the resurrection of our Lord here. So going back to chapter 22, we are on verse 5. This is why Abraham could believe and could follow the Lord and could say, here I am to him, because he had faith in what God was able to do. In verse 6, we see that also Isaac is an example of obedience. Isaac is an example of what here I am means. It says, and Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took his hand, the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. Isaac was carrying the wood for the burnt offering, and Abraham was carrying the knife and the fire. Isaac is acting like the victim, and Abraham is acting as the executor. And the two of them are walking together. Without the two servants, they are walking together all the way to this sacrifice. They are both willing to do their role. They are both willing, the father, Abraham, carrying the executing weapon, and Isaac carrying what was necessary for him to be offered as a sacrifice. Let's read verses 7 and 8. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, and notice what Abraham says to Isaac here, here I am. This is the second time these words appear. Here I am. He is also there for his son. Isaac is there to support, Abraham is there to support Isaac in the middle of this trial. And Isaac here obeys, trusting in the Lord. It says, he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And in verse 8 we read, and Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. So Isaac, how was Isaac able to say, here I am? How was Isaac able to follow his father to this sacrifice? He understands that there is no lamb for the sacrifice. He understands that there is something missing there. But when Abraham responds to Isaac that the Lord will provide him for himself a lamb, Isaac also trusts in God. Isaac believes in God by the words of his father Abraham. And this tells us something about the relationship that Abraham, or the influence that Abraham had on Isaac. Isaac grew up believing in the God of his father. He knew that the God of his father was a real God, was the only true God. And even though he doesn't understand, just like Abraham doesn't understand what is about to transpire, none of them question the Lord. Isaac doesn't question his father, and Abraham doesn't question God. They both trust in God. So this is telling of the example that Abraham was to Isaac and the example that we ought to be for our children. They have to see who God is for us. They have to see that God is real in our lives. They have to see that we trust in the Lord also. It says at the end of verse 8, it's a repeat from verse 6, it says the two of them walked on together. They are going together, only father and son, to perform this sacrifice. Verses 9 and 10, and they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Isaac offered himself willingly for this burnt offering, and Abraham stretched his hand with the knife. There are no signs of resistance in this passage. It doesn't tell us that there was any kind of struggle between Abraham and Isaac. Isaac, being anywhere from 18 to 25, definitely could run away from his father, who was already 100 years of age, or could overpower him to avoid this incident. But Isaac gives himself as a sacrifice. We can speculate as to what those last moments look like. The Bible is silent here. But we can imagine Isaac and Abraham hugging each other, sobbing, ready for this difficult trial, where the son is about to be sacrificed by the hands of his father. It says on verse 10, that Abraham stretched out his knife. He took his hand and he was ready to slay his son. If God had ordered Abraham to do this, who could stop him? No one except for God. Let us read verses 11 through 14. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided." In verse 11, Abraham uses these three words for the last time in this passage. When he's about to stretch out his knife to kill his son, to offer him as a burnt offering, he tells the Lord, "Here I am." The Lord calls, and Abraham responds with these three words once again. "Here I am." With the same attitude, the same love, the same commitment, and the same faith that Abraham had when he first responded from verse 1. In verse 12, Abraham cleared the test. "Here I am" came through all the way through the end of this test, proving that Abraham loved God more than he loved his son. That's what God said on verse 2. He says, "You love your son," but now we see that Abraham loves God more than he loves his son. Verse 13, it says, "Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son." This was the purpose of God all along, from the time he asked Abraham to go sacrifice his son. God was going to make an object lesson out of this event, that he was going to be the one who was going to provide the needed sacrifice and not his own. And this became a beautiful picture, of course, of what the Lord Jesus Christ did later on for us today. God never asked this for, and this is important, God never asked this kind of test from anyone, and he has never asked for it again. He never asked anybody else to sacrifice his son in the way he did with Isaac here. And in fact, at the end of this passage, we see that God's purpose from the beginning was not that Isaac should die. His purpose was to make a beautiful picture of what he was going to do with his own son. What God was going to do with Jesus Christ as a perfect sacrifice for us. So, four things that we learn from Abraham in this passage, and what some of the things we have already talked, just to frame them and put them out there. It says, I have here, Abraham loved the Lord more than he loved his children. Abraham loved the Lord more than he loved his children. Godly parents love the Lord more than they love their children, and they give them this example. Our kids know, our children know that we love them. But godly parents love the Lord more than they love his children, their children. And our kids should also know that as parents, we love God more than they love them. And this example is what led Isaac to be obedient. This example is what led Abraham to be willing to sacrifice his own son. But then Abraham learned something important later on. He learned that God loves his children more than he loved them. God loved Isaac and even Ishmael more than Abraham loved him himself. Godly parents recognize that God loves their children more than themselves, and they trust in the Lord to give them their lives. Godly parents recognize that the Lord has better plans, that the Lord loves them infinitely more, loves our children infinitely more than we could ever love them, and they trust him. They trust him to give them their children and let them lead their lives. On verse 14, Abraham learned one more thing. Abraham learned that God provides. Let's read verse 14 again. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "in the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Abraham learned that day that God was going to provide a better sacrifice than the best that he could give. The best that Abraham could ever give, the best that any of us could ever give as a sacrifice, is the life of our children. But Abraham learned that day that the Lord was going to provide a better sacrifice than that. A sacrifice that would be sufficient for him, for his son, and for the rest of us. The Lord would provide. And finally, on verses 15 through 18, Abraham learned that God's intention behind this difficult test was to bless him even more. And this is the intention that God has behind our trials. He has the intention of blessing us through our test. Let's read verses 15 through 18. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of your enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.'" Incidentally, on verse 16, when the Lord swears by himself, because he has nobody higher to swear by, this is the first time in Scripture also where God actually swears. It's not the first time we see the covenant, but it is the first time when the Lord makes a sworn statement by himself. After this episode, the Lord swears that he, through Abraham, would bless the rest of the world. In verse 17, we have a repeat of the covenant that God had made with Abraham earlier, but there's an addition to this part of the covenant here. It says at the end of verse 17, "And your seed shall possess the gate of your enemies." And here we see a sequel of the promise that God made to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, that her seed was going to crush the head of the serpent. And here we see that through this seed, through the seed of Abraham, through this descendant of Abraham that was going to bless the rest of us, he was going to crush the doors, he was going to take the doors of his enemies. Why did God do all of this? Well, he did it, first of all, because he's sovereign. And he had a plan before the foundation of the world to take care of all of this. But just in this passage, the reason why he did this is because of what it says at the end of verse 18. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have obeyed my voice. How important is it to obey the voice of the Lord? What kinds of things does the Lord accomplish when we say, "Here I am," to his voice? We see that the most important thing transpired from this episode that we just read right here. So just to finish, just to conclude in the last 10 minutes, let me make some connections that I think are necessary from this passage. On verse 18, God makes this promise to Abraham. He says, and your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And this promise or this pronouncement from the Lord affects you and me. In his seed, we know that his descendant being Jesus Christ, all of us were blessed. All of us have received the blessing of salvation. We had no part, as the book of Romans tells us, with Israel. We had no part with God. We come from different cultures. I come from a pagan nation that my ancestors sacrificed to idols and did human sacrifices. We had no part at all with the Lord. But through his seed, through what the Lord Jesus Christ did, we were able to receive salvation. We all are familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever believes in him. Through the seed of Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And whoever believes in him does not perish, but receives the blessing of eternal life. God provided a ram to take the place of Isaac, but God has provided for each one of us a more perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice as an offering for our sin. The son of Abraham was not enough to be an atonement for my sins, but the son of God was enough to take care of that problem. Who of you, as we were reading this passage, thought that the love of Abraham for God was great? Certainly, definitely, is an example to each one of us. The love for God, but the love that God had for us is even greater than the love that Abraham had for God. When the Son of God, his only Son, one who is him, like him, at the cross, no one stopped the hand of the Father to plunge the knife in a figure of speech. No one stopped the hand of the Father, and he sacrificed his Son willingly for each one of us. For a sinner like me, who only deserved to be condemned, who deserved to spend eternity in hell, the Father stretched out his hand, and with the same drama that we read here, he plunged the knife. There was no one there to stop his hand for you and me. Yes, the love of Abraham for God was great, but the love that God had for each one of us was far greater. His commitment to our salvation went further than the commitment that Abraham had for the Lord here. There is no father like God. We can look up to Abraham as a father, but no one compares to God. And when we trust in God, he gives us the right to become his children. We read that in John chapter 1 and verse 12. Earlier this morning we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." Now we have God as our Father. He is our perfect Father. And he loves us just like Abraham loves his son. He loves each one of us with the same depth of love, or even greater. No one said, "Here I am," the way the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Here I am." No one loved God the way the Lord Jesus Christ loved God. He was willing to obey his Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Here I am," to God, all the way to the cross. The last application I have here is, godly children obey their parents, trusting in the Lord and following his example. We are all children of God, and we obey the Lord, and we trust the Lord just like Abraham, just like Isaac trusted Abraham, and just like Abraham trusted the Lord. And when we obey the Lord, we trust him as our Father. We cannot figure out, just like Abraham could not figure out the outcome of these events, we cannot figure out what God is going to do. We cannot challenge what he does. We don't understand always what he's asking from us. We understand it through Scripture. What we understand through Scripture is that there are certain things that he wants from each one of us. But when we obey the Lord, we are trusting in him. We are trusting in him the same way the Lord Jesus Christ trusted in the will of his Father when he went all the way through the cross. Even at the end in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ was struggling with this question. Is this the method? Is this the way? Is the Son of God delivered into the hands of sinners? And at the end of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of sinners. It makes no sense, but this is the plan of God. We cannot understand the plans of God, but we can trust in him the way Abraham trusted in God. What would you say to God's calling today? In Christ, each one of us has the privilege of saying, "Here I am." Let's remember that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Here I am," for each one of us. Perhaps you're here this morning and you never heard of the story of Christ or what he did for you. But Christ gave himself for you, just like Isaac was willing to give himself in that sacrifice. He gave himself for your sins. He gave himself in obedience to the Father, that he may take the punishment for all your sins. Will you say, "Here I am," to the Lord this morning? Will you accept the sacrifice that he did on your behalf? And if you already know Christ as your Savior this morning and your Lord, will you be willing to say, "Here I am," in anything that he asks you to do? I'm not asking, and the Lord is not asking you to take a mystical approach and just try to hear his voice. Most likely, the Lord will not give us a calling as direct as Abraham's received here. He has spoken through his word. He has told us many things through his word. Would you and I be willing to say, "Here I am"? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the obedience that the Lord Jesus Christ had, not just for 3 days, but all the way to the cross from the beginning of his life. He knew what his purpose was in this earth. He knew that he would die. He knew that he would offer himself as a willing sacrifice. And you knew, Lord, what you would do when the time came. Thank you for his obedience. Thank you for the penalty that he received, not for his own sins, but for mine. Thank you that he was willing. Thank you that through him, each one of us who have trusted in Christ has received the gift of eternal life. So, Father, as we meditated on this scripture and as we heard Abraham say, "Here I am," throughout this passage, we pray, Lord, that you will empower us through your Holy Spirit to not just will to say, "Here I am," but to do it, to obey you, Lord, to listen to your word and to follow you. We pray for your help, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.